oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you've been keeping an eye on the Brian Koberger case, you already know it's not your run-of-the-mill murder trial. It's a legal battleground where the stakes couldn't be higher. Justice for four brutally murdered students and the life of the accused, who's been described as anything from a misunderstood academic to a cold-blooded killer. But this week's hearings have shifted the spotlight to what might be the most critical element of the trial, evidence, and whether or not it even belongs in the courtroom. At the heart of the drama is the defense's attempt to discredit two key pieces of evidence, the testimony of one of the surviving roommates and the much-discussed DNA found on a knife sheath left at the crime scene. If the defense succeeds, the prosecution's case could be dealt a crippling blow, and Koberger might just walk free. Here's what's going on. One of the prosecution's most talked-about witnesses is a surviving roommate, whose testimony has been a focal point of both media coverage and legal scrutiny. In the immediate aftermath of the murders, the roommate's account painted a chilling picture. She heard noises, saw a masked figure, and experienced what can only be described as sheer terror. But under the relentless microscope of the defense, cracks in this narrative are beginning to show. Ann Taylor, Koberger's lead attorney, wasted no time pointing out the inconsistencies. According to Taylor, the roommate's memory is, at best, unreliable. There are references to not remembering, being drunk, and even questioning whether the events were real or just a dream, Taylor argued during this week's hearing. In one interview, the roommate allegedly said, "I don't know any of it. Like, half this stuff, I don't know if it was a dream or if it's real." For the defense, these statements aren't just minor inconsistencies. They're the foundation for questioning the credibility of someone whose testimony could heavily influence the jury. Taylor didn't stop there. She highlighted a particularly troubling point. The roommates claimed to have heard one of the victims walking up and down the stairs during the attack. "They know that's wrong," Taylor stated, suggesting that the timeline presented by the roommate doesn't align with forensic evidence. If the roommate's testimony is thrown out, the prosecution loses a critical witness who places Koberger at the scene of the crime. The second battleground centers on DNA evidence, specifically a partial DNA match found on a K-bar knife sheath left at the scene of the murders. Prosecutors have called this evidence the smoking gun that ties Koberger to the crime. The defense? They're calling it unconstitutional. Here's the issue. Investigators used a controversial method known as investigative genetic genealogy to identify Koberger as a suspect. This involves taking DNA evidence, in this case, from the knife sheath, and comparing it to profiles in public genealogical databases. Eventually, investigators found a match to Koberger's distant relatives, leading them to his family and, ultimately, to him. Sounds straightforward, right? Not according to the defense. Ann Taylor has argued that this process is fraught with legal and ethical issues. "I think it's interesting when you have the FBI telling the trash man what to do," Taylor quipped during the hearing, referring to how investigators allegedly obtained Koberger's DNA from his family's trash in Pennsylvania. The defense claims that this process violated Koberger's constitutional rights. They argue that the FBI's collaboration with local trash collectors was conducted without a proper warrant, making the DNA evidence inadmissible. Prosecutors, however, pushed back hard. "There was nothing obtained that violated the defendant's constitutional rights," said Ashley Jennings, representing the prosecution. For now, Judge Stephen Hipler hasn't made a decision on whether the DNA evidence will be allowed at trial. However, he's made one thing clear. The hearings on this matter will remain closed to the public. "Once the bell is rung, it can't be unrung," Hipler said, explaining his decision to shield these discussions from the media frenzy surrounding the case. While the legal teams spar over evidence, the families of the victims are left in limbo. Originally scheduled for October 2023, Koberger's trial has been delayed multiple times, with the latest date set for August 2025. For the victims' families, the delays are agonizing. "It's gut-wrenching how slow everything has to go," said Kaylee's mother in an interview late last year. "Why does this have to be so drawn out?" Part of the delay stems from the defense's extensive pretrial motions, including challenges to the DNA evidence and motions to dismiss the case entirely. While these are standard legal strategies, they've added months to the timeline, leaving the families feeling as though justice is slipping further and further away. Adding to their frustration is the demolition of the off-campus home where the murders occurred. Despite pleas from some family members to preserve the house as evidence, it was torn down in December 2023. "This was one of the most critical pieces of evidence in the case," said the family of Kaylee. Prosecutors and defense attorneys agreed to the demolition, but the decision has left a sour taste for those seeking closure. When Koberger finally revealed his alibi earlier this year, it raised more questions than answers. According to his defense, Koberger was driving alone on the night of the murders, taking in the sights of the moon and stars. The prosecution was quick to pounce, calling the alibi vague and uncorroborated. To back up his claim, Koberger's team has brought in a phone data analysis expert to argue that his cell phone's location data places him miles away from the crime scene. But prosecutors aren't buying it. They've pointed to other cell phone data and surveillance footage that allegedly show Koberger's car near the victim's home on the night of the murders. As the legal battles rage on, the case has become a masterclass in the complexities of the criminal justice system. Investigative genetic genealogy is a relatively new tool, and its use in this case has sparked debates about privacy, consent, and the balance between innovation and constitutional rights. On the other hand, the human element of the case, the trauma experienced by the surviving roommate, the grief of the victims' families, and Koberger's own insistence on his innocence, reminds us that behind every piece of evidence is a real person whose life has been forever altered. The demolition of the crime scene house has added another layer of complexity to the case. While both prosecution and defense agree to tear it down, the move has sparked controversy. For the families, it feels like the loss of a tangible link to their loved ones, a place that, for all its horrors, held the answers to what happened that night. For the legal teams, it's a practical decision. The house was deteriorating, and its continued presence risked compromising evidence and inflaming public sentiment. But practical or not, the decision has left a vacuum in a case already full of unanswered questions. One of the most contentious issues remains the use of cell phone data. Prosecutors have mapped out what they say is Koberger's route on the night of the murders, showing his car circling the victim's home multiple times. The defense, however, has countered with its own expert, who argues that cell phone data is far from foolproof. Factors like signal drift, tower handoffs, and even weather conditions can affect the accuracy of location data. This back and forth over cell phone evidence underscores the broader theme of the case, the fight over what can be considered reliable and admissible in court. For Judge Hippler, the challenge is to navigate these murky waters while ensuring a fair trial. His decision to close certain hearings to the public reflects the tightrope he's walking between transparency and the need to protect the integrity of the proceedings. It's a decision that's drawn criticism from some corners, but it also highlights the unprecedented nature of this case. The intense media scrutiny, the use of cutting-edge investigative techniques, and the high-profile nature of the crime have combined to create a legal and cultural flashpoint. As the August 2025 trial date approaches, all eyes will be on the courtroom. Will the DNA evidence hold up under scrutiny? Will the roommate's testimony survive the defense's challenges? And perhaps most importantly, will the families of Kaylee, Madison, Zana, and Ethan finally get the closure they've been waiting for? These questions hang over the case like a cloud, a reminder that justice is never as straightforward as we'd like it to be.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.